All right, if you'd like to, we're going to spend a lot of our time in Joshua 1, but we're going to start with Hebrews 13. Hopefully, I got the right verse like I didn't do last week. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 is where we're going to start. Then we're going to switch over to Joshua chapter 1 here in just a little bit. Hebrews 13, verse 5. And there the author of Hebrews reminds us and says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Those are some fancy King James words there, but what does it mean that your conversation would be without covetousness? That means, are you content with what the Lord has provided you, or do you always feel like you need more? Boy, we live in a culture that constantly bombards you, doesn't it, with the fact that you don't have enough and you need more. But here, what I think is interesting is look at how it puts these truths together. If you're constantly bombarded with you don't have enough, you don't have enough, what's the author of Hebrews tell us at the end of that verse? The Lord says, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. What the Lord is saying is, I am enough. Now, the Lord's going to challenge us this day. Do you believe that? Is the Lord enough? Yeah. There's a lot of, how can I say it in a nice way? There's some instability in a lot of our lives, even here today, right? With our health conditions, our job situations, relationship stuff. Even just paying the bills, there's instability. And yet, what the Lord is trying to tell you today is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I am enough. You are not alone. Just stick that in your heart this morning. If you've got that much, you can go to sleep now if you need to. That is the heart of this message today, is the Lord speaking to you and telling you, it's okay. I'm with you. You're not alone. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Trust me. This week I was on prayer walk, and you guys, this, I don't know, you need to find what the Lord would have work for you, but this has been just perfect for me. So every morning I get up and I take off and I make my loop, and the Lord has just been speaking to me, encouraging me, and while I've been trying to pray to him, it has been so good. And I was making my way around Brighton Knoll, and it was kind of a rainy day, and I'm walking and praying and just kind of wondering about some things. And when I turn around the corner, I look up. You should always look up, by the way. Many of us never look up. We look forward or we look down, but we don't ever look up. I looked up, and this is what I saw. Let's see if it pulls. Oh, there you see it. Now, it's really hard to see on the screen. Maybe you look back on the TV, you can see it a little bit better. And the first thing I saw was half of the rainbow. And the colors there, you can just kind of see there's a rainbow there, kind of a whole rainbow. But I saw half of it, and I was like, thank you, Lord. I needed that. Then I walked a little further, and I'm like, it's the whole thing. I didn't just get half. I got the whole thing. And the Lord really encouraged me in that moment. Well, right about that exact time, Michael Seitz sends me a text message in our Pray and Go group. And he's basically saying, well, what do you get from this passage in Revelation? How is the Lord working in your heart? And I typed right back, the Lord is telling me that I'm not alone. And here you go. I sent a picture. This was my reminder. Well, then it was like, I don't know, 5 minutes later, Michael sends back this one. He goes, David took, or Jacob took this picture just this last week. And then he sends back another one. And he goes, Anna took this picture over her place where she worked this week. I was like, we really are not alone, are we, right? And it's such a simple thing. But that was a God's reminder to us that he would never flood the whole earth again. And it's a reminder, I think, to us today that we really are not alone. Praise the Lord. Look for the Lord. He's not that far from you. Sometimes you think he is, but he's not, is he, right? And so the Lord was really speaking and encouraging my heart. And so today, what I wanted to try to remind you is this simple truth. And we're going to look in Joshua chapter 1 and hopefully see a few quick things there from Joshua that remind us to press forward, to not be discouraged, because the Lord is with us. You are not alone today. God is with you. There's a quote from Mother Teresa I thought was very interesting, very insightful. She says the biggest disease today is not leprosy or cancer. It's the feeling of being uncared for, unwanted, of being deserted and alone. We are all around people who have all kinds of diseases and all kinds of hurts and pains, but that feeling of being alone, there's a lot of people that fall into that. And a lot of those people in our culture are rather wealthy. They're fine. They're well off to do. They've got the things that they need, but they are hurting because they feel alone. And today I'm reminding you that you have the answer to that problem. You've got the medicine. It would be kind of rude to have the medicine to help someone's problem and not offer the medicine to them, wouldn't it be? Hello? You have the medicine for so many people that are alone, that feel uncared for, that are hurting, and that medicine is Jesus and the gospel, and it's delivered through a listening ear. I want to challenge you this morning, even as we sit here, with the Lord way on your mind and on your heart, who do you need to be praying for? Who do you need to this week offer that medicine to and share the gospel with? Who do you know that's feeling unknown or left out or uncared for that you can speak and touch and encourage them? Again, I hope today you'll be reminded that, again, the Lord has promised us if we seek him, we are never alone. Now, I wonder if you will go ahead and turn in your Bibles over to Joshua chapter 1. The passage in Hebrews 13:5 is a quote from Deuteronomy 31, and then also the same ideas in Joshua 1. And we're going to spend just a little time there this morning to be mindful of what it means to not be discouraged and to remind ourselves that the Lord is with us. So first thing we're going to look at is this idea of remembering the past. Remembering the past. So look in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, and the Word of God says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one, verse 5, will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never, what? Leave you. I will never nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. All right, it's kind of good that this really fits hand in glove with our Sunday school lesson this morning, doesn't it, right? This morning, Brother Todd was sharing with us in Sunday school that God had delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. How many miracles did they see? Well, they saw 10 plagues. They saw the firstborn of all the Egyptians pass away, and their families were safe. They went to the edge of the Red Sea. They saw the seas part. They literally, physically walk through on dry ground. They had the presence of the Lord by day in the cloud and by night by a pillar of fire. Every day, a miracle. They had the manna that came from heaven to give them food to eat and a quail to eat as well. Their provision was there every single day. And in today's lesson, guess what we found in Sunday school? The Lord says, I've given you the land. So they send the men to go out and they look at the land. And when they come back, what do the 10 of the men say? Ain't no way we can do that. Those guys are big. They are way too strong. I don't know what you've done to us, Moses, but you have got us in a mess. And they start grumbling and complaining. And we see the Lord's response, right? He is so angry with them. He basically tells Moses, I will be glad to start a new nation today. That's how upset the Lord was with their grumbling and complaining. They had all these blessings, all these miracles. And what were the people crying for? They wanted to go where? They wanted to go back to Egypt. You're going to think this is crazy, but working in jail ministry, I wish Teresa was here today. She could agree with this. I know she encounters the same people. We find people that sometimes feel safer in their dangerous places than they feel about going out to a new place that may be much better for them. We see that monthly at homeless ministry, don't we, right? There are people who feel safer in the what we would say is a terrible place, but it's a place they know, and they feel safer in what they know than what could be so good for them that's out in front of them that they don't know. And before you get too comfortable in your pews there, you are the same way. We feel safer in what we know than maybe what the Lord has for us if we would step out of the boat, if we would exercise faith, if we would be obedient. Well, we saw this morning, because of their sin, there's consequences. And God sent a plague to those 10 of those 12 men, and the Lord took them out almost immediately. There were two guys left of the 12 that went out. One was Caleb. I always imagine him as being such a strong, mighty guy. I hope in heaven I get to meet Caleb. And if we can see what people were when they were here on the earth, I'd like to see if he is as buff and as strong as I think he was. Anybody know who the other guy was? It was Joshua. And that's where we're at today. Because of their sin, in our lesson this morning, we find out that God says, okay, for every day that they wandered looking around at the things, they're going to spend a year in the wilderness. And so they're going to spend 40 years, and probably close to anywhere between 600,000 to a million people are going to wander because these 10 guys made a decision that, no, we can't really do what God says. It's just not going to happen. So after that time, they will pass away, and then we come to this time where God is challenging the people again. Moses also had a little problem, which I'm kind of a little more forgiving of Moses. I don't know about you all, right? If you had to deal with these people all the time and you got tired of them, wouldn't you strike a rock every now and then? Now, he did not obey the Lord in that, and the Lord punished Moses as well, right? Moses would only get to see from a distance. He would not get to enter the promised land. But the Lord eventually took Moses, and now we have this transition. How many of you are good with transitions? How many of you like moving from one location to another? How many of you like going from one school to another? How many of you like going from one job to another? How many, if I tell you you're going to have something for dinner today that causes problems for your whole day, right? We do not like change, a lot of us as a whole. And here is a huge transition. These people have been through so much with Moses, and they've seen God do incredible things, and now Moses is gone. And so the question is, has God left us? Is there going to be any transition? Is there going to be any God with Joshua like he was with Moses? Now, you can put yourself in the people's position. They're kind of wondering, I don't know what's going to happen. Could you imagine being in Joshua's shoes? How would you like to follow Moses? Right? The man literally parted the Red Sea. He literally got the handwriting of God on tablets and was bold enough to break them and get them a second time. He saw the face of God, and this is the guy you got to follow. That's where Joshua is. And these people are like, God has told us this, and we saw the consequences when we didn't obey. We need to obey, but how are we going to handle this? And I want to encourage you this morning, as you think about the past, you can look and see what God has done and let that help you move forward to the future. Joshua would have to overcome the fact that he was not Moses. Can you hear the Lord speaking today? Man, he's speaking loud to me. You're not supposed to be somebody else in the Christian kingdom. And sometimes we do that, don't we? Right? I look at somebody and I say, oh, look at what they're doing. That's probably the person I need to be when I need to be what God has called me to be, right? Pick on Brother Ray Bridges. He's not here right now, but I wasn't going to start Friday Night Fires. But the Lord has called Ray to do that. And guess what? When Ray does what the Lord asks him to do, God does good things. Amen? Today, you need to be the you that God has called you to be, and quit comparing yourself to other people and be obedient to what the Lord wants you to do. And that's where Joshua had to get to that place. And let me challenge you with this thought this morning. I hope that you can. I had a hard time last week, but it's this kind of a similar idea. Sometimes everything isn't going to be what it used to be. We appreciated God's grace in the past, but that does not mean we cannot look forward to God's grace in the future. Yes, you may not get to go back to the earthly past, but what do you have in front of you is more of God's grace. Do you want to go back to Egypt, really? No, I don't. Lord, take me forward because I know what you have is so much better. So we see this transition in past leadership. I also want to challenge you this morning that we have this idea of past failures. Not making it to the promised land could have been the end of everybody's attempt, right? How many of you ever quit because of a failure or just the fear of failure? Anybody? Preacher was in sixth grade. He was an incredible basketball player. I mean, ball handling skills. Already could throw it behind the back. I was good. And sixth grade was Baum Elementary. And Scott Bilyeu and Todd Jones were my buddies. And we were all three teachers' pets. And we ruled the sixth grade class. Went to Thomas Jefferson Middle School, seventh grade. I still have PTSD to this day. I hated the transition. I went from being the top of the sixth grade mountain to the very bottom of the seventh grade valley. Oh, it's bad. I didn't even want to change my clothes in gym class. I was so scared. Guess what? Came time for basketball tryouts. Remember this guy that could do all that? Did he try out? Why? Fear of failure. Eighth grade, I was playing with my buddies in gym. They're like, man, you're pretty good. You ought to try out. What if I don't make it? Fear of failure. This is the worst. Ninth grade, football team. Like, I really think I'd like to play football, but what if I don't make it? I found out later, they don't cut anybody. I missed out an opportunity because I was afraid that I would fail. Hello, is the Lord speaking to you today? He's trying. Some of you, the Lord is calling you to do something, and you're like, oh, what if I fail? That's exactly what the 10 spies said. What if we fail? And they wandered for 40 years because of it. What if you trust the Lord truly and obey him? What's in store? Spiritualizing here, but a land of milk and honey. Amen. The joy of obeying the Lord is so much greater than whatever the failure be. We got to get his voice. It's got to be his command and his leading. But oh, please, please, when the Lord is calling, don't let the fear of failure prevent you from seeking out the Lord. Again, when Moses passed away, the people in leadership could have felt there's no hope. They could have given up, but they sought the Lord and he delivered. Hear me this morning. Please don't let your past failures define you. The devil, that's his job. That's who you are. You're defined by your failure. You're defined by your fear. You're defined by your sickness. You're defined by the things that you used to do. And the Lord would say, those things don't define you. I define you. Jesus is who defines us. So we can overcome the past failures. And then the good thing here is the past promises. Even though the people were wicked, even though the people disobeyed, even though the 10 men failed their friends and their families and their people, God made a promise. Does God keep his promises? You guys, shouldn't you like stand up and cheer once in a while when you just hear the word of the Lord and it's so good? Does God keep his promises? Every single one he promises, he keeps it. Trust him. And that's what these people were doing. They were going to trust the Lord, even though they had seen the consequences of fear of failure. God was going to keep his promise. He promised to lead his people. He promised a land to them. And can I tell you this morning, man, it's been in my heart so strong today. I hope I'm careful about this a little bit, but I'm not looking for this country. I'm looking for a better one. That's what Abraham was looking for. That's what Moses was looking for. And Joshua and Daniel and Isaiah and Joel and Amos, they were looking for a better country. And I'm looking for a better one. And it's one God has promised to those who receive the gift of his son. Praise the Lord. He will keep his promises. The Lord here says, Joshua, obey me. No one will be able to withstand you. And we know how that story goes, right? The Lord keeps his promise. As God was with Moses, he would be with Joshua. He would never leave him or forsake him. He would give him the land as the inheritance, which he had already promised. And so we see that. What's their responsibility? And here's why I challenge you this morning. This is one that hits a preacher's heart this morning. God told the people, he told Joshua, only be what? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Sometimes as Christians, we need to stop along life's road and we need to look back and be reminded of God's guidance, his provision, and his hand. And sometimes, I hope you'll hear this morning, this has been good to me too. We have to remind ourselves, we're playing the long game. We live in a culture that plays the short game, right? Give me what I want. Give it to me right now. If I don't see it, it must not be. And what the Lord teaches us, I think, is we're playing the long game. We're talking about eternity here. Now, T.S. Eliot put this quote in. I really liked it. He says, we fight for lost causes because we know that our defeat and dismay may be the preface for our successor's victory. Right? Your part of the battle may not be the parade. Are you tracking with me? How many of us want the parade, right? I want to be part of a team that lands in and finishes the thing off and we all celebrate and say, woohoo, look how awesome we are. But who wants to be part of the team that first drops in when there's nobody else and you're by yourself, just you and your little team to go? And you may suffer defeat and you may suffer casualty and you may suffer injury, but you're opening the door for the rest of the army to come through. Hello? You guys, and this is only if the Lord allows, but I think that's kind of what we're doing here. We're trying to be steady and faithful and obedient and lay a good foundation. And it may be after I pass away, it may be after you pass away, but God is laying down the groundwork for something that's going to have incredible encouragement around the world, not just here in Indy, but hopefully here in Indy too. We play the long game, so we need to do that. Well, let's look at the plan for success this morning. Verse 7, the Lord says to Joshua, he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all that the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Verse 8, keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and what? Successful. Highlight that verse. That's a good one. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Go ye therefore where? Into all the world. What's the last verse say? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Same God? That's good, isn't it, right? The same promise to Joshua is the same promise that Jesus gives us as we go out to serve him. You are not alone. How many of you are scared to witness? Go ahead, raise your hand. Seriously. Thank you. Thank you, Todd, one honest person in the room. Me too. I'm the preacher, and I get nervous. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I don't approach it the right way? What if I cause them to close up, and then somebody else is going to miss out on an opportunity? Again, that fear of failure in my head. And the Lord says, would you just get out there and go? I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to forsake you. I am with you to the end of the earth, even to the end of the age. I am with you. The Lord is our companion. So be strong and be courageous. I want to encourage you this morning, please. We can't just sit still and hope for good things to happen. We need faith to boldly do what God wants us to do. And to do that means we have to get out of the boat. And the way I would word it today is, you need to obey when you're not sure why or how, but you know it's the Lord. Everybody hold on with that truth? Right? You got to know it's the Lord. So don't be obeying things you're not sure if it's even the Lord. But when the Lord speaks and you're like, I know that was the Lord, and I know he wants me to do this. I don't understand the why. I don't get the how. I don't know where he's going to work it all out. But that's when you need to step out and you need to have obedience. And we need to do that as a church body as well. Be strong, be courageous. George Patton has heard from a chaplain. I thought this was an incredible quote. He said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. Isn't that good? Courage is fear that said its prayers. Yeah. This adventure, this new job, this new relationship, this transition, this change, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray. And by praying and seeking the Lord, I'm going to find the courage that he would have me to have so that I can obey. Be strong, be courageous. Here the Lord tells Joshua, observe God's law. Again, just like Moses commanded, if you do, you'll prosper. Now we today are walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but the principle is the same. We need to observe Christ's teachings. And if we love him, the Bible says, Jesus says, you'll obey my commands. Just to make sure we're on the same page, John 14, 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. You are not alone. It just keeps pounding, doesn't it, right? Jesus says, you say you love me, that's great. Obey my teachings. If you do, the Father's going to send a comforter, an advocate, and he's going to come and he will be with you. You won't be alone, the Spirit of truth. So the Lord reminds us that we should put God's words in our heart, in our mouth. Can you kind of correct the preacher here a little bit this morning? I think this is where I need to do better myself. How many of you like to talk football? Well, me and Joni and Ray Knight. Anybody watch the WNBA All-Star game last night? The Olympic team got beat by the other players from the WNBA. It was kind of interesting. How many of you like to talk barbecue? How many just like to eat barbecue? Right? How many like to talk politics? Let's don't even go there, right? Lord, help us. We like to talk about a lot of things. Amen? How many of you like to talk about the word of the Lord? The Lord says to Joshua, let my law be on your lips. Let's talk about it. What did we do in Sunday school today? And Brother Todd did a great job. Very simple, clear lesson, a reminder about fear and failure and faith, right? We're talking about the word of the Lord. What we do on Wednesday nights, we try to eat something. And then after that, what do? We listen and learn and talk about the word of the Lord. But that's not the only time we need to talk about the word of the Lord, right? You're studying something some morning, and this is like really precious and good to you. Share it out. Find a friend. Find a friend here at church. Let the words of the Lord be on our lips. And pray for your preacher that he would be the same way, and he would be mentoring and leading in that way. And then the next thing is we should meditate on God's words. And when do we do that? Day and night. Pray for your preacher. He's doing pretty good today. He needs to do better at the night. It needs to be morning and evening that we are soaking in the words of the Lord. This is our greatest tool for growth in our church. And that is really filling ourselves with the word of the Lord. If you do these things, the Lord very simply says to Joshua, and I believe he even says to us today, you will prosper and you will succeed the way that God defines success. So don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord is with us. When we say God is with us, what's that mean? What's that word? Emmanuel. Amen. We are not alone. Let me close with this final illustration today. Dallas Willard, who lost his mom as a young child, writes of a little boy whose mom had passed away. He was especially sad and lonely at night. He would come into his father's room and ask if he could sleep with him. Even then, he could not rest until he knew not only that he was with his father, but that his father's face was turned toward him. Father, is your face turned toward me now? Yes, his father would say. You are not alone. I am with you. My face is turned toward you. When at last the boy was assured of this, he could rest. Dallas Willard concludes, how lonely life is. Oh, we can get by in life with a God who does not speak. Many at least think they do so, but it is not much of a life, and it is certainly not the life God intends for us or the abundance of life Jesus came to make available. You see, if you've given your heart to the Lord today, his face is turned toward you. And he knows you, and he loves you, and you are not alone. My challenge to you this week is simply that we would step out in obedience, that we would not be afraid, we would not be discouraged, that we would commit to the study and the obedience of God's word and to the Lord's teaching, and then that we would make sure that on a regular basis we're reminding one another that we are not alone. The Lord has said to us, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Let's stand this morning. Ask Diane, if she would, to come and play for us a little bit this morning. Again, today, I don't know where your heart is and where your hurts are. I don't know where your fears are. I shared with you some of mine. And I want to challenge you this morning that you would give your fears over to the Lord. We need courage. And again, that is fear that's been bathed in prayer. And so today, as Diane is playing there for us this morning, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, you want to come to the altar. Maybe you have a fear you want to leave here at the altar today. You want to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, in this situation, I desperately want you to work. And Lord, I need that assurance that I'm not alone and that you are with me. So if you'd like to do that, you can come even now and come and pray. If you need to tap someone on the shoulder, have them come with you. I know they will come and they pray with you today. Today, maybe you're in a transition time. And that transition is really difficult. You need to offer that to the Lord. We would encourage you today to do that. And then finally today, maybe you have a friend or a loved one that they feel unloved, they feel uncared for, they feel empty and alone. And the Lord has put them on your heart. And you just need to pray how you're going to be able to love and to witness to them and to speak into their life. We'd love for you to pray for them today as well, that they would know him, that they would know the one who will never leave them, never forsake them. Let's just take a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray, and then we'll sing the chorus together of Gentle Shepherd. Lord, there are so many today here in our church family that are going through times of transition. Lord, some are dealing with still with a lot of grief. We ask for your presence in their grief, that you would lift them up. Lord, there are some are needing to see the direction you would have them go. Lord, we pray for clarity and that you would open their eyes. And Lord, they would know you're speaking so they could step out confidently in faith. And then, Lord, there's people that we love and we care for that they just feel alone and they're heartbroken. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to look up to you and look to them beyond our own needs to see people that need to know you and need to know your love. I pray that you give us grace in those things. Lord, we need your guiding hand to guide us as a church family, but to guide us as individual families and, Lord, just as individuals. Lord, pray that you would put it in our heart even this week and that we'd meditate on your words day and night, or that they'd be on our lips. And Lord, that you would embolden us to have incredible faith and courage. Lord, that we be not be dismayed, we not be discouraged because you're with us. Thank you again for this good day, for your truth. And Lord, let us leave this place encouraged. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.